Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill Welsh. Thank you for joining me for this study in the book of Acts. Today, we are in chapter 5. Find it quickly. Chapter 5, the book of Acts. Fool's gold. Have you ever seen it? So, you know, sometimes the real deal is hard to tell from the fake, isn't it? Chapter 5 of the book of Acts is a case in point to that truth. The church is exploding. Thousands are getting saved. Trouble with the authorities, but the movement continues to move forward. House-to-house ministry, preaching in the temple, there at the gates into the temple, people getting saved and healed, delivered, and then an amazing outpouring of love in such a practical way. The sale of personal holdings, houses and land, and then the donation of those funds to help the poor. There's an interesting take there, isn't there, on the redistribution of wealth. It was voluntary and personal, not corporate. But with the movement of mercy that we see there in chapter 4, there must have come some recognition like, hey, there goes Benjamin, the local hero who sold his land and gave it all away. And there had to be that kind of recognition of the generous ones in their congregation unless they could give entirely secretly. But that doesn't always happen, does it? The ones who gave it all would have been the local heroes. Well, enter Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5, two names that live in some sort of infamy, as they say. They gave, for sure, but they pretended like they gave more than they really gave. They pretended like they gave it all. They sold a piece of property and brought a portion of it, but agreed together to lie about how much they gave. They said, this is all we got, and it was a lie. The sin was not that they didn't give it all. The sin was the hypocrisy. Verses 3 and 9 says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, or you've tested the Holy Spirit. So why? And it's a very, very severe judgment that God passes down. Two people who apparently loved the Lord but lived in some hypocrisy, they die because of their lies, because of this hypocrisy. Why was God being so harsh? Well, this was the beginning. Sort of a new Genesis, the birth of the church, and God often spoke or acted in a very severe manner at the beginning of some new movement or some new dispensation, as they say, as he was unfolding redemptive history. It's God's way of saying to his people, this is serious, like when Achan was put to death for stealing, you know, some of the spoils of war in the book of Joshua. Well, thank God he doesn't drop us all for a simple lie. But know this, he is still grieved when we walk in dishonesty. Verse 11 is very important in chapter 5. Listen to it. It says here that, and great fear after this event, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. In other words, they got their hearts right with God. Then in verse 13, it says, and no one dared join them. Well, obviously, the church continued to grow, but people thought twice before they joined up with these Christians. As you read, you'll see, even after this setback, or should we call it a wake-up call, the gospel spreads. Because the gospel was the whole point to make Jesus known to this world. The church was unified. The church was purified. People were healed. Demons were cast out. But most importantly, people got saved. So here we go again. The boys go back to preaching, and in verse 17, they get arrested again. This was a very short incarceration because the Holy Spirit had other plans. And very quickly, in verse 20, the Holy Spirit sets them free and says, go stand in the temple and preach. And they did, and they got arrested again. And now the authorities are really, really mad. In verse 28, it says this. They brought them in, and the high priest says, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Sounds like they'd been effective, doesn't it? They'd filled Jerusalem with their teaching. Now listen to Peter's answer to that high priest's injunction. The high priest had said, didn't we tell you not to do this? And Peter, verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, but God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. They say, didn't we tell you to not speak about Jesus? And Peter says, didn't we tell you that we couldn't stop speaking about Jesus? And they're just getting themselves in deeper and deeper, gladly. It's a standoff that will last all the way to today. The battle is raging until up stands a pretty level-headed guy by the name of Gamaliel, Paul's old mentor. Maybe Paul is even standing there in the jury beside him. In verse 34, let me read this to you quickly. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. This Gamaliel was well respected. Read the account very carefully, and you'll see this man had great, great common sense. And it worked to a degree. He said to them, let's leave these guys alone and see what God might do through them. Let's see if God is even in this. And they said, okay, but then they went ahead and whacked them around a bit. They beat them before they forbid them to preach Jesus, and then they let him go. You will love verses 41 and 42. Let's go and end right there. It says in verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus. They would not quit, and neither should you. The question is this: who calls your shots? Who do you obey? Are there times when you have to ignore the laws and obey the Lord? Of course there are. I don't mean speeding laws or tax laws. I mean, God's call in our life must come first. Have a wonderful time reading chapter 5. Study it closely, carefully, and deeply, and may God enrich you as you take in his word. God bless you. See you in the next chapter.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.